Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. Thank you, Lord God, for ever watching over us. We are your witnesses. Say, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, or the end of the age. We are your witnesses that your word is true, Lord. Father, thank you for the beginning of this new week, Lord. Joyful in the presence of the Lord, inhabiting our praises, Lord. Father, thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Blessed be that glorious name, Lord. Now, Lord, as we read the scripture this morning, bless the reading of your word. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise be the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I just want to, last week I was talking about Babylon, right from the book of Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation. Babylon is mentioned. We talk about the origin of Babylon, and so forth. So I couldn't finish it, just to maintain the same train of thought. I just feel like I want to write that up this morning, So what we talked about that Sunday was the origin of Babylon, right from the book of Genesis, the one of Nimrod, who founded Babylon, and we went to the place at the point where Babylon was taken over, by Cyrus, the Middle Persian Empire, and so forth. But what happened to Babylon really, So I want to kind of wrap it up this morning by the grace of God. So we know that there was a prophecy that was fulfilled, that Babylon will be destroyed. So let me begin from there. So I thought I gave a draft prophecy of the destruction of Babylon. And also Jeremiah gave a draft prophecy of the destruction of Babylon. When we hear all this Bible fulfillment of prophecy, it will tell us that even the same remaining prophecy, like the most important one, the coming of the Lord, will surely come to pass too. Praise the Lord. That's why we talk about Bible prophecy. Anyway, let's see the prophecy describing the destruction of Babylon, by Isaiah. There are the two of them in the same chapter. There are the two of them in the book of Jeremiah. So Isaiah, the 13th chapter, I will read from 19 to 22. So the foretelling of the destruction of Babylon. And it says, and Babylon, verse 19, verse 13, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. A house shall dwell there, and satyr shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And our time is near to come, and our days shall not be prolonged. That was the prophecy that Isaiah gave, and so forth. So in fulfillment of this prophecy, the ancient city of Babylon is today what? In a state of desolation, and has been for many centuries, just as the prophecy said. Let's go back to the church of Babylon, how that prophecy was fulfilled. We went through that Sunday. Over a century after Cyrus' capture of Babylon, what happened to it? In the time of Belshazzar, Alexander the Great captured it. That over a century after it was changed over to the Indo Persian Empire. So Alexander the Great captured Babylon. His plan was to restore the glory of Babylon, meaning Alexander the Great. But of course, he studied death. He couldn't bring to pass his own plan. He died at a very young age. He has conquered the whole world. He thought he had no more words to conquer. He went on a drunken orgy and died at the age of 33, right? So we know, so he couldn't fulfill what he said we do to Babylon to restore it and so on. He couldn't do it because Babylon said it's not inhabited, right? So he couldn't do it. Anyway, so we see that here. Now, Seleucia, a rival city, talking about what happened to Babylon. Seleucia, a rival city, right along the Tigris River, 20 miles in east of Randy Baghdad, sprang up and drew many of the inhabitants of Babylon. Look at the historical pattern. It's called Seleucia. Babylon was still a city in the days of the apostles. Because we read in the book of Peter, he wrote one of his epistles here. In 1 Peter 5:13, the church that is at Babylon, he let us together with you, saluted you. And so does Marcus, my son. So in the day of apostles, Babylon was still there, right? Like Brother Peter wrote one of his epistles from there. From there on, Babylon declined until 1,000 years later. It was only a small village. Today, it is totally deserted, marked only by debris and ruins, just as the prophecy foretold. The only habitation in the area is near the city called Al-Hila in Baghdad area, and so on. That's how exactly how the prophecy said it will be. I mean, so it is today. Prophecy was true. Now, the question I want to ask is this. Was this destruction of ancient Babylon the old fulfillment of prophecy? Is that the old thing about Babylon, really? Looking for Genesis Revelation? Well, let's look at it in the Bible. It turns out that part of the same prophecy of Isaiah in 13, that same chapter, predicted its destruction, to be another one will happen near the end of the age. So there's a dual prophecy on Babylon in Isaiah 13. One of them has come to pass. Just read it now. So the chapter begins back to Isaiah 13 right now. I want to show that he made another prophecy about Babylon. That chapter begins with the announcement of a judgment on Babylon that's associated with the time of the great and notable day of the Lord. The great and notable day of the Lord has not come, right? But there is another prophecy about the destruction of Babylon and the great and notable day of the Lord. Let's begin from the same chapter of Isaiah and so forth, but from verse 1. What it says in Isaiah, the body of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Now, just over 6, to say how it ties to the day of the Lord, which is still the future, right? And there being a destruction of Babylon right now, it's in ruins right now. But this other destruction is tied to the very coming, the very day of the Lord. So that's, let's see, verse 6. How ye, now it began with Babylon in verse 1, right? That's 6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and it shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 10 says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. See, the day of the Lord, right? The sun shall be darkened itself in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause a light to shine. And then I will punish the world for their evil, and then the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So the rest of the chapter shows how world judgment, ties right in with the judgment of Babylon, and that's what the devil I just read right now. So that the dual prophecy in India wants to come, what has already happened, wants to come at the time of the great and notable and terrible day of the Lord. Now, since ancient Babylon have been completely destroyed as of today, according to that original prophecy, it will seem that there could be another judgment upon it in the day of the Lord. Unless, there can't be another destruction anyway, unless it is rebuilt. Now, it has been destroyed, it's in ruins today, right? So if there's another prophecy, it should be destroyed again, there, maybe it has to be rebuilt. I mean, that's what we think. That is why many Bible scholars believe that Babylon will be rebuilt again. Many people believe that, you know. We see, as we read the scripture, I don't know that, you know. And Jeremiah the prophet was especially associated or anointed of God, really. When Judah went into the 70-year captivity, in fact, even he won't get the prophecy of Judah going, I mean, Judah getting 70-year captivity in Babylon. He himself gave a prophecy about Babylon and one that was at the time, and one for the end of the age, like Isaiah did. So when predicting an imminent judgment on Babylon, just like Isaiah did, he also apparently foreshadowed another judgment at the end of the age. And I will take time to read this in Jeremiah 51, a couple of verses in there. Two prophets said the same thing, of dual judgment. And the book of Revelation, I'm going to see it now, talking about of dual Babylon, right? Now, anyway, Jeremiah 51, 37. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment, and an eating without an inhabitant. How is Sheshak? Sheshak is another name for Babylon, really, if you want to look it up for yourself. So you can put Babylon there. How is Sheshak or Babylon taken? And how is the praise of the old earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither does any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel in Babylon. Now we talk about Bel, right? Right on that tower. What the shackle of Bel, you know, that's, you know. I will punish Bel. Bel is the god of Babylon. See? I will punish Bel. He says, in Babylon and something like that, you know, he will punish them and something like that, you know. Anyway, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together anymore into him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Last week we talked so much about the wall of Babylon, right? My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Verse 49. And Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so as Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Verse 53. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, said the Lord. Verse 58. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon, of which we talked so much last week, shall be utterly broken, and our gates, like we talked last week, shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. Verse 62. Then shall thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to call it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that he shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book to Jeremiah, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thou shalt Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, moving forward, the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation mention a dual Babylon, which probably we are all familiar with by this time, you know, right now. A dual Babylon that has many similarities and yet distinct, and that both shall be destroyed. 17 Acts, it's chapter of book of Revelation, talking about Babylon. If you look at it, I don't have time. The old sermon to compare them, how they look alike in the description. And there are differences that between them, that there are two Babylon, that they drew a Babylon right there. 17 and 18 are two Babylon actually, you know, it's right there. But I won't go, but you can even compare yourself, it's so glaring. But I'll just keep that one out now. Anyway, the predictions of Jeremiah against Babylon, especially Jeremiah 51, that I just read now, verse 45, 49, 16 and 64, are very similar to the words found in Revelation 18:4. And look at what he said in Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that he be not partakers of our sins, and that he receive not of our plagues. What did he say? You know, in Jeremiah 51, verse 45, what did it say? India. You know, it says, my people, go ye out of the midst of her, you know, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. So the same thing that, you know, Jeremiah said, book of Revelation, say the same thing and something like that, you know, go out of her, my people, and something like that, you know. Now, so we see right there. Now, verse 8 of Revelation 18. Therefore shall a plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for stronger is the Lord God who judges her. Verse 21. I'm reading this way to compare to what Jeremiah that I read before. 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Verse 24. And in her was found the blood of a prophet, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. So Jeremiah, you tie it put together, tie it into it, drop into the sea, you defeat it, and so on. So shall that city be sunk, right? And God is saying the same thing here in the book of Revelation. Now, the similarity between Jeremiah's prophecy that I just read and that of the book of Revelation are so strikingly similar that there are definitely a judgment at Babylon at the end of the age. We are in the book of Revelation, right? The book of Revelation is prophecy. It's future, right? So there's another judgment coming on Babylon at the end of the age. So, and today is in ruins, right? So, will it be repeated there? If you're not rebuilt, what will be destroyed? Anyway, now, Revelation 17, let's talk a little about that. Mystery Babylon, Bible call it. Let me read the first few verses of Revelation 17. God is talking about dual Babylon, India, you know. 17, one of Revelation. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, so look at that week, it's just the taking over of Babylon, right? Talking about its destruction. One prophet already been fulfilled. It's in ruins today. We are saying that another future destruction, according to even all the prophets, you know, both Isaiah, both Jeremiah, and even the book of Revelation, talking of another destruction of Babylon in this age we are living in. Anyway, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven fires, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great war that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of our fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. Verse 9 says, and here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman seated And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. And one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short pace. So we know by now, the seven heads of the beast represent the seven successive world empires of history. We have talked about this in the past year many times. So, from the Egyptian, number one, Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persia, Grecian Empire, and Rome. You see, what is now, which is Rome, time of writing. The one we come is the Antichrist and the beast system, right? Continue for a short time, right? Maximum of 7 years, in the midst of the year, and so the Greek tribulation, and so on that, you know. So we know that. The harlot woman represents the idolatrous religion of the first church as it has existed from the days of Nimrod, throughout the age, at the Tower of Babel, down through the world empire, you know, into the era of Rome. That first religion was throughout history, you know. So anyway, at the end of the age, she then rides the Roman beast until her destruction. She represents mystery Babylon as she exists at the end of the age. She is Jezebel of the Titular Church of Prophecy, Book of Revelation. The papacy of today is the same one. See? That has occupied a dominant role during the New Testament age. She is ecclesiastical Babylon. So Revelation 17 is ecclesiastical Babylon. You see? That's what I'm saying right there. Long thing to, I just want to summarize that one. It's totally ecclesiastical in Revelation 17. We are told in Revelation 13:7 that it was given unto the beast to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Talking about the destruction of the ecclesiastical Babylon right now. Because that'd be a destruction of it too, you know. So, 13:7 Revelation talking about the beast making war with the saints and overcoming them. Now the beast cannot bear any kind of worship at all. This false religion, papacy and so forth, and so on, they proclaim they are worshipping God too, right? The Antichrist can't even afford anybody mentioning God. The same persecution that he meted against the saints of God, it will now turn against mystery Babylon. Papacy and so on will be destroyed, according to the word of the Lord in the book of Revelation. So I put it here. So since the harlot woman does profess to worship God, albeit a false God anyway, false worship, the hour will come when the persecution the beast meted against the true saints in Revelation 13:7 will be directed against her. The ten kings, how will they be destroyed? The ten kings, you know, which give their power to the beast, will now turn on the woman to destroy her. Scripture, Revelation 17:16. And the ten arms, which thou stirrest upon the beast, they shall hate the world. There you go. Because he professed worshiping one God, right? Even though it is the first worship, right? The abstract, not able to hear anything, but worshiping anybody. One thing is to be intended to be worshipped, right? After all, he goes into the temple and say he is God, right? So whether you are worshiping another false God, he doesn't care. Anyway, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God, verse 17, for God has put in their heart to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the word of God shall be fulfilled. What are we saying here? Or what is Scripture saying here? That means, so the papacy of Vatican shall be destroyed by the beast. That's what it says right there. That's what the Bible is saying right there. That will be the end of Vatican, or papacy and so on, or that woman, false religion and so on in there, you know. This event of the destruction of mystery Babylon, or ecclesiastical Babylon, in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, will be at the very end of the age. See? Just before the Lord appears at the battle of Armageddon. So it's in our age. So tracing Babylon through history and so on, and that, you know. So we see. Now, Revelation 18 talks about Babylon. Like I said, they look strikingly similar, many, 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 many ways. And they are really distinct. So Revelation 18:1, let me quickly read the first three verses here. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the heart was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, it's falling, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of our wrath, of our fornication. Can you see some similarity between the commercial and the ecclesiastical? But they are yet distinct, you know. And the kings of the heart have committed fornication with like the ecclesiastical one, right? But they are different. And the merchants of the heart are wax rich through the abundance of our delicacies. Now, since the 17th chapter completes the description of the destruction of Mystery Babylon, ecclesiastical Babylon, the words in verse 1 of Revelation 18:1, after these things, what does that mean? Describe the fall of something else, because at that time, after the destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon, you say after that war, something else happened, right? Revelation 18:1. So that was what I'm talking about now. Because after this thing, meaning after the destruction of the ecclesiastical Babylon, Vatican papacy is destroyed, right? Then after that war, something else happened. What is it? The term Babylon, as used here, is a symbol of world commerce. World commerce, really, you know. And the concentrated accumulation of wealth. That's what it means. Babylon has used that verb. So this second Babylon is evidently commercial system, really, you know. What you call the commercial Babylon. And we are going to see that now. Wealth, trade, gold, and silver have become the gods of this world. Men willingly risk their lives in their pursuit of the mammon of commerce. Gold largely controls and rules this world, directly or indirectly. The epistle of James of course chapter 5 speaks of the rich heaping together treasure for the last days. It's not in the last days, right? The days of this mystery Babylon, sorry, this commercial Babylon is the last days, right? While the poor are oppressed and trodden down without pity, the Antichrist will be associated with commercial Babylon. Many scriptures bear that out. Let me get about one or two there. Daniel 8:25. Through its policy, also it shall cause craft to prosper. Commercialism, right? Craft to prosper and some of that, you know. Daniel 8:25 says so. So I said that craft will be associated with that and so on. So anyway, so the beast is identified with the number 666. We know. Revelation 13:18 says this. Here is wisdom. We are tying the Antichrist to the commercial Babylon. What we are doing right now. So Revelation 13:18 says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And its number is 666. Now, we talk about gold and everything, commercial Babylon and so on. As far as we know, the only other scripture, or the only other thing in the scripture with which the number 666 is associated is gold. That's it. So that's in the old Bible, the only other thing with the number 666 associated is gold. I give the scripture right now. For we are told that Solomon, in the days of his great prosperity, received 666 talents of gold a year into his treasury. 2 Chronicles 9:13 says this. We are saying that apart from the number of the beast, the only other thing which number 666 associated with the old Bible is gold. Now, 2 Chronicles 9:13. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. So it seems plain that the reference to this sinister number in connection with gold is not accidental at all. It's providential. God who called the end from the beginning, make it to be so. God is the God of this world. As such, it is associated with commercial Babylon and the beast whose number is 666. Now, as we have seen the judgment of ecclesiastical Babylon in Revelation 17, it's born with fire by those 10 kings and so on, that you know. Without the judgment of commercial Babylon too, yeah, Bible foretold the judgment of commercial Babylon. Revelation 18:4 says, "And I heard another voice, already before, from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." Verse 8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death," talking about judgment of commercial Babylon, right? "And mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." Verse 9. "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is a judgment call." So she will be judged too, commercial Babylon, just like ecclesiastical Babylon, religious Babylon, Revelation 17 was born with fire and so on, that, you know. If we assume that Babylon is a literal city for now, its burning could be, how would that happen? What kind of burning is that? Well, if we assume it's a literal city, we do for now, then the only thing we can take in our age, that kind of body will be atomic destruction, really, you know. Because the way it is described, ordinary cannon fire, ordinary weapon, the one with fire today in war and so on, it will take weeks, or even months, to totally destroy great cities like Babylon or whatever, you know, on that terrific cannon fire like the fire today in Iraq or whatever. However, this city is destroyed in 1 hour. What kind of destruction is that? We are taking atomic. Praise the Lord. We are in the atomic age, you know. The Antichrist too, the atomic power and so on, that, you know, we believe and so on. However, this city is destroyed in 1 hour. Either atomic destruction or supernatural fire from heaven as upon Sodom and Gomorrah will be the cause of that Holocaust. God can use it anyway. He can use man. I can be like Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no atomic power in there, but brimstone, rain from heaven, right? And both of them are Gomorrah. God can still do it today, you know. So it can be either way. Anyway, but it will be destroyed anyway. Verse 17 of Revelation 18. "For in 1 hour, like I said before, so great riches," see, commercial, right? "So great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city?" See? We are lamenting and so on. Notice that those who watch Babylon burning, commercial Babylon burning, stand afar off, like we say so, and as if they were afraid of fallout coming from the desolation, of that area and so forth. Babylon, here is something again. Babylon was born the city of Jerusalem, right? Nebuchadnezzar born Jerusalem, right? He went there 3 times, I believe, burned the temple and so on, took the vessels of the Lord, and took the Babylon and so on, burned down and put down the boy Jerusalem. Yeah, Babylon was born the city of Jerusalem. Now she herself is to be destroyed by fire. Jeremiah 51:24 says this, "I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Cardia," Cardia is Babylon, right, "all their evil that they have done in Zion." See? God will make it back, come back to her and so on. And thus, it is spoken in Revelation 18. Verse 6 of Revelation 18 says this, "Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled her, to her double. As Isaiah said, Babylon will be as Sodom and Gomorrah, which cities the Lord overthrew by fire. Isaiah 13:19 says so. Babylon, the glory of kingdom, the beauty of the Kadis, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, having said all these things, I want to cause a crucial question people have been asking over the age. Will Babylon be rebuilt today? Will it be rebuilt? Today it's in ruins, you know. So will it be rebuilt? That's the question people are asking. Well, does this prove then that Babylon will be rebuilt by the Antichrist to be later destroyed during the judgment of the day of the Lord? Well, let me say that up front now. The proof is not absolute, but we draw a view, some viewpoints here. The proof is not absolute, but let's see some viewpoints. The judgment spoken of certainly refers to judgments on Babylon in its worldwide ecclesiastical and commercial systems of the last day. Definitely, gold is involved. Babylon in 1 hour, so much riches perish, right? Supposed to be worldwide ecclesiastical, which you already see will happen to the papacy and so on, that you know, and also commercialism will be destroyed and so on. Now, the prophecy, however, may not necessarily refer to a rebuilt city, not necessarily, but let's see before we finish here and so on. In fact, they are not the slightest move so far as we are talking about now to rebuild Babylon. We haven't seen any decisive move to rebuild as of today. Whether it is happening or the ground, we don't know. Anyway, nevertheless, there is nothing in the prophecy that we can see that will preclude the rebuilding of the city of Babylon. Go over half overnight. Half overnight. With the kind of weather they have today, it will be half overnight. So we are leaving our minds open right now. But no, we're not going to be dogmatic about Babylon being rebuilt literally, but we just open our minds and so on. We only say that at the present moment, the prophecies are not clear enough to dogmatically state that ancient Babylon will be rebuilt. It is a subject worthy of close watching. That's why we should watch and pray. Events of the immediate future will continue to cast further light upon this subject, whether that be literal building of the city of Babylon or so, but we have to keep on looking and so on. Now, the thing is this. If Babylon is rebuilt, what kind of city will it be? If it is rebuilt literally, what kind of city will it be? I'm sorry? She's going ahead of me. Now, I will quote for a man of God about 75 years ago. Here is what he thought that Babylon will look like. You know, and I read with the Queen about 75 years ago, he wrote, a man of God. Now, he says this, Babylon the Great will be an immense city, the greatest in every respect the world has ever seen. It will be a typical city, the London, the Paris, the Berlin, the Petrograd, the New York, the Chicago of its day. It will be the greatest commercial city of the world. Its merchandise will be of gold and silver, see that? And precious stone, and pure of purple, and silk, and the scarlet and costly wools. Its fashionable society will be clothed in the most costly jewels. Their homes will be filled with the most costly furniture of precious woods, brass, iron, and marble, with the richest of draperies, mats, and rugs. They will use the most costly of perfumes, cinnamon, fragrant odors, ointments, and the frankincense. Their banquet will be supplied with the sweetest of wines, the richest of pastry, and the most delicious of meats. They will have horses and chariots and the sweetest of fast-moving vehicles. 75 years ago, this man on earth. And in the air, they will have they are slaves, and they will traffic in the souls of men. That is, women will sell their bodies, and men their souls to gratify their lust. The market will be crowded with cattle, sheep, and horses. The wolves, like you have another wolf, right? The wolves will be piled with goods from all climes. The manufacturers will turn out the richest of fabrics and all that the genius can invent for the comfort and convenience of men will be found on the market. It will be a city given over to pleasure and business. Businessmen and promoters will give their days and nights to scheming how to make money fast. And the pleasure loving will be constantly planning new pleasure. There will be riotous joy and a ceaseless feasting, as it was in the days of Noah and of Lot. They will be marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling, building and planting. The blood will run hot in their veins. Money will be their God. Pleasure, their highest priest, 75 years ago. And the unbridled passion, the ritual of their worship. It will be a city of music. Amid the noise and bustle of his commercial life, will be heard the music of his pleasure resorts and theaters. There will be the sound of harpers and musicians, of pipers and instruments. Then he quoted Revelation 18:22. The world's best singers and players will be there. His theaters and places of music will be going day and night. In fact, he says, there will be no night, for the electric illumination of the city by night will make the night as bright and shadowless as the day. And its stores and places of business will never close, night nor day, nor Sunday, nor the mad world of pleasure and the absorbing desire for riches will keep the wheels of business constantly moving. And all this will be easy because the God of this world, Satan, will possess the minds and bodies of men. For we read in Revelation 18:2 that Babylon at that time will be the habitation of devils and the home of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The city will be the seat of the most important occultism and mediums, and those desiring to communicate with the other world will then go to Babylon, as men and women now go to Paris for fashion and sensuous pleasure. In that day, demons, disembodied souls, and unclean spirits will find at Babylon the opportunity of their lives to materialize themselves in human bodies. And from the atmospheric heavens above, and from the abyss below, they will come in countless legions until Babylon shall be full of demon-possessed men and women. And at the height of his glory, just before his fall, Babylon will be ruled by Satan himself, incarnate in the pit, Antichrist. That's the end of the quote. Again, this is only one man of God's conception of what the city of Babylon will be like if it is rebuilt. You know, and we have said, and I do say it again, we don't have sufficient evidence to say categorically that this city will be rebuilt. Nevertheless, the question is this: Do any other Old Testament prophecy lend support to the idea that the city of Babylon will be rebuilt? Yeah, I think that is wrong. Zechariah the prophet is writing as similar to the book of Revelation in many respects, you know. And its prophecies in general relate to the day of the Lord. You see, when God is pouring out his judgment upon the earth. Let's look quickly, I know I'm running out of time here, at the fifth chapter, book of Zechariah, that may say or may point to the fact that the city will be rebuilt. But even then, we cannot say it. Let me quickly go there. Now, you talk about the two women and the ephah, Zechariah 5:5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thy eyes and see what it is that goeth forth. And I said, what is this? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that seated in the midst of the ephah. And he said in verse 8, he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do this bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build, very important verse now, to build an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon our own days. Land of Shinar is Babylon, right? We know that one, even from last Sunday and so on, but we know that before. So anyway, in their own days. So what are we talking about? So the angel showed Zechariah a vision, right, of a woman and the ephah. The angel interpreted the vision, saying, this is wickedness, like we read before. Then two women, then come into view in that vision. And they take an ephah. What's an ephah, really? An ephah is a large measure. And look what it's up. It's about 6 gallons or 22 liters, you know, or something, you know. So anyway, and they carry it as by wings of a stork. A stork is an unclean fowl, really, you know, into another land, according to the vision and so forth. When Zechariah asked where they carried the ephah, he is told it was to build a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon our own base. Verse 11 says so. So in the book of Revelation, as we have known before, there was a woman, a sun-clothed woman, representing the true church. And in Revelation 17, of course, you know, a false church, right? An evil woman will appear to represent false religion, right? So these women we saw here in the vision are moving location of their operation to the land of Shinar, which is Babylon, right? So we know. This means that if Babylon should be rebuilt, then it can well be understood that these two women represent the two Babylons, the religion and the commercial. See? Because say this is wickedness. So we can think of that. No? Now, so that's what the Zechariah said and so on. Should Babylon city ever be rebuilt? Commercial Babylon of Revelation could be symbolically. Now I'm putting this one here. Should it be rebuilt? I mean, if it's not built literally, if they don't really rebuild it, what can really happen is this. Commercial Babylon of Revelation 18 could be symbolically represented by a city in the Middle East where world trade among different countries, many countries, right, including the United States, the NATO countries, and the SEO countries will be controlled by the Antichrist. So it could be a symbolic city, right? I don't know that, you know. And that we control, you know, world trade and all of that, you know. Now I put this one here. Interestingly, the Middle Eastern city of Dubai, a major city located in the United Arab Emirates, is known as the Gulf Tiger. They call it the Gulf Tiger. It is one of the most important areas of trade and tourism in the Middle East today, and is noted for being the area's central hub of export trade. Where I mentioned NATO, we all know NATO. NATO today possesses 31 countries, right? Out of that 31 countries of NATO, we believe the 10 iron toes of that S2 will come out. The SCO stands for Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Was founded in 2001 by Russia and China. Now, since about then, there are now about 9 countries. In fact, Iran just joined them this month. So there are 9 now. There are the 10 iron countries and 10 clay countries, according to the prophecy of Daniel in the image and so forth, that you know. Anything can come out of this NATO and the Eastern Bloc, China and Russia and so, anything can come out to form the iron and steel to work with the peace system at the end of the age. So we know that. Anyway, so we see it could be, so if you don't rebuild Babylon physically, it could be symbolic like a city like Dubai, you know, something like that. Like I just said to you right now. Commercial Babylon will be of the beast prosperity. So the view of which commercial is beast prosperity. Like I read to you to go, Daniel 8:25. Let's quickly write this right now. And through its policy, as a Christ policy, right? Also, it shall cause craft to prosper. So that commercial is a piece of the beast system, right? To prosper in its hand. And it shall magnify itself in its own heart. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hands. Even more about the Antichrist being involved with commercialism and so on, Daniel 11:38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones. So the Antichrist will likely be of a dual citizenship. Okay, say it's the God who for that knew not, right? They have a Jewish blood. No? For what we read from that verse and so on, because the God who is for that new lot, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. So maybe I have a Jewish blood. Just leave it right there. I don't want to talk too much about that. That's not. Anyway, precious stones and pleasant things. 39 verse. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. So lastly, about being Asaka being involved with the commercial Babylon and so on at the end of the day, Revelation 13:16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and its number is 666. Now, we know this. For the church of the living God, shortly before the Antichrist takes full control of the world commerce, and near the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the elect church is translated. Many scriptures bear out that Revelation 12:5, as he brought forth a man child, right, and was caught up to the throne of God. That was one scripture by the rapture. Another popular one, most popular one, is 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, where I don't hide it. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise forth. And we that remain, that mean the Lord, we shall be caught all together with them in the cloud to meet with the Lord in the air, the Bible says. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Job, before the Antichrist make a full revelation and manifestation of himself, that one will take place and so forth. Now, Now the church, so we say that the prosperity of commercial Babylon is on the beast, right? The beast prosperity, like I said before. Like the church in the wilderness, the elect church will be translated under the elect church prosperity. I call the elect church prosperity, amen? Praise the Lord. What do I mean by that? Because in Psalm 105, the church in the wilderness and so on, we are told in Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also, with silver and gold. And there was not one people person among their tribes. Something I missed about that Babylon being a beast. It could be like a symbolic city. It could have like an headquarter. Maybe to have like an headquarter that coordinates like Dubai if you want to. An headquarter kind of a thing. If it's not literally, it could be like an headquarter there in the middle east right there. And Dubai is a type of city like that and so on. Before I go on and so on. So it will be the brighter prosperity. God will prosper his children. Just like it did when he brought them out of Egypt, Psalm 105. 37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribe. And verse 43 says, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. That's how the church will live here, amen? Praise the Lord. No matter what persecution is going on right now, that is how you live with the church of the living God. Now, in closing, so brighter prosperity and so on in the Bible, there are many of them. That's one of them. 3 John 2, we all know that, beloved, without any doubt, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that what happened in the wilderness? There was not one feeble person among their tribes, right? Brought them forth with silver and gold. So that's how we are going out of here by the grace of God. Let me get more scripture here to close. Philippians 4:19, the brighter prosperity, the elect prosperity, the biblical prosperity of the children of God at the end of the time. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God make all grace, I just kind of quote the word, all grace, abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That is a brighter prosperity for this age, for you and I as we go here this morning. Being enriched, verse 11, being enriched in everything to unbountifulness. Praise the Lord. God and the Lord make provision for it and so on for his children at the end of time. Even the psalmist talking of all these things and so forth, Psalm 112, verses 2 to 3. Kind of paraphrases. So the Lord, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in your house, just put your house. Yeah, I mean, so it's in your house at all. God's children at the end of time. Moses writing and finishing his writing, Deuteronomy 28. Though, addressed to the Jews or to the Israelites, but for the children of God today. Verse 8. This morning, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand to do. He'll do it for you and me. At the age crisis right now, verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee pleasures in goods. It's for every one of God's children to grab by faith. Like any other thing that God gives is by faith, right? Just believe God's word, just claim it. Last scripture here, Malachi 3:10. And the Lord, this I just paraphrase it, open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Praise the Lord. That is the elect of God prosperity at the end of the age. All is obtained by faith. It's all there for us and so forth. And the commercial Babylon prosperity is the peace prosperity. And God will bless his people as we get ready to get out of here by translation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So to conclude the Babylon thing that we have got in our heart to talk about. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto others in parable, Lord, bless our eyes that see these things, and our hear that hear these things, that kings and prophets decided they should understand and know, but wasn't given to them. Even though they wrote it, wasn't given to them, for them of the end time, the salvation to be revealed, he said at the end of the age. Now the end of the age is here. Lord, we thank you for accounting us worthy to have this understanding, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to honestly then contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, know, holding to the word of faith and the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ, the patience waiting for Christ, in an age, O Lord God, of everything rush. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, having called us out of that evil system, that false religion, you know, that gathering all the religion of the world together in one place, and that he called Abraham out of that same, it was that same Babylonian religion that he called Abraham out. We know his father was even one of those worshipping the religion of Baal, even back in those days. The type of the letter of God, he called him out, he called Abraham at Genesis chapter 12. So the letter of God at the end of time, we are called out. The church made the called out one. We are called out. That's what it means. Out of the world system. So we thank you for all the blessings you have in store for us for this last day, Lord. And we pray for the children of the Lord who will be steady, locked up in the false religion and system and so forth, that end up in the sea and be born with the fire at the end of time. Lord, O God, may the call reach unto them, Lord, to come out of us in the name of the Lord Jesus, and not be partaking of our, you know, of our sins, nor receive of our plagues, in the name of the Lord Jesus. All over the world, Lord, they are sincere, you know, the system cannot be converted, but God will call out his children out of there. We are praying this morning that we get to the very last one out of that system, Lord, and get your children ready for the rapture, or should we say, we'll be ready for the rapture. Be ye also ready, said. And now we think not, Son of Man coming. And we thank you for the prosperity blessing that we have just read this morning. There are many of them. It is ours in Jesus' name. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, he created all things. John 1:3. All things were made by him. And nothing was made which was not made by him. All things were created by him. Colossians 1:16 says, by him all things were created, visible and invisible. In the principalities or nothing that are not seen, all things were made by him. And Romans 8 says we are heirs of God and joined here with Christ. All that God has belong unto us. Father, help us, Lord, to reach on by faith, Lord of God, to receive and to accept. We just accept it. That which God has already given unto us. We are told he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. As we go this morning, Lord, we commit our way to your hand. Lord, in the name of the Lord, except of a righteous man, they are ordered of the Lord. Lord, as we go forth, having favor, thank you for your promise to bless the work of our hands. We read a handful of them this morning. In all that thou set your hand to do, God will bless them, he says. In the name of the Lord Jesus, make us precious in good. This is the word of God. Lord, be unto us according to your word. Lord, Mary, the little girl, 16 years old, didn't know how it will happen. When that angel Gabriel appeared to her, you know, and he said, I don't know any man. He said, where? He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow thee. So, I said, be it unto me, he said, according to your word. Most of this probably will be sitting here this morning. How will that be precious in God? How will this happen and so forth? We can just say, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. That will be sufficient. We bless and we worship you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, praise God.